Here we go, episode 423 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my friends? Awesome having you back on another Flip Empire Show. And guys, my buddy and partner, Steve Cavanaugh, are diving in and we're chopping it up on several things. Steve just got back from Louisiana where he and his partner were doing an inspection on a self-storage facility that they are moving forward with and purchasing. Really exciting stuff. We couldn't get into too many details because they're still in the due diligence inspection phase, but it looks like they are moving forward and it has the potential to be a home run. So we talk about self-storage versus multifamily, how that even became possible. Steve has been a successful fix and flip investor, if I can speak, for the last 15 plus years. And this wasn't by chance. This didn't just happen that he came across our sweet, sweet self-storage facility. It was by design. It was very intentional. It was because he had clarity on the direction he wanted to take his life and business. And the same thing applies to him moving from Southern Maryland 3 years ago and now living by the beach in West Palm, right here in Florida. That didn't happen by chance. That was very intentional. It was by design. It was because he had a vision. It was because he had clarity. Steve and I talked to so many people that are rudderless, right? You know, the ship without the rudder, without the sail, and are just kind of going and going and grinding, but they don't have any direction. They don't have any clarity. We talk about exactly how to get out of that place, how to find that clarity, how to be operating within your giftedness. And then Steve kind of puts me on the hot seat and fires some, puts me on like a pop quiz type of deal, where he asked me some questions that I didn't even realize. So it's always great connecting with him. He's like my brother, and we've done just super, super blessed the work that we've been able to do within our Ascend community, which is basically full, one seat left. And there's just a lot that we talk in this episode, and I trust you get a lot out of it. So let's hop right in. Steve Cavanaugh, what's up, bro?
What's up, Pardo? How's it going, man?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. You good. Switched up on me, man. You were sitting down. Now you stood up.
Nah, I just raised the desk, baby.
I love it. I love it.
To a new height.
Yo, I like what you did there. I like what you did there, man. So what's going on, dude? Before we get going here, why don't you catch people up on what's going on in your world?
Yeah, man. So I just got back from Louisiana last week. End of the week, I had a partner of mine that were doing some self-storage deals down there. So it was a site visit for the storage deals that we have under contract there. And man, it's all good stuff. So I'm knee deep in underwriting those deals and kind of really getting everything locked in, moving towards settlement. Now, man, I'll tell you what, man, we have got just an awesome seller to work with. The main one that we have under contract to go down there. And man, I had an hour-long conversation with that guy this morning. Just the sweetest guy you ever want to meet. Older gentleman, looking to retire, just, you know, wants to concentrate on his health. And, you know, he's done everything he can do to kind of get it to this point, at this point, you know, at this stage of the game. And I think all the CapEx and everything that we want to do when we buy it is ultimately stuff that throughout the years he's had the desire to do, but really just hasn't had the cash and hasn't had the fortitude and resources and wherewithal to kind of pull it all together. So part of this deal really is, you know, we want to make it what it could be, especially using today's technology, and help him kind of preserve his legacy there, because he's just such an upstanding guy. And I'll tell you, man, I don't know that I've ever worked with a seller on the residential side that I have with this guy. I mean, just a stand-up character.
Really?
That's amazing. And it's been probably one of the best parts of the whole thing is just working with this guy thus far. So,
wow.
Yeah, man, really rewarding. Very cool.
Well, I got to tell you, I posted this when you shared some pictures on social media about, you know, you saw the facilities in the background with you and Ian that are tackling this deal. I was, I was really proud of you, man, because obviously you and I are first and foremost, we're really, really close and we're good friends. And then second of all, you and I, you know, co-lead and co-run Ascend. And so we've been working side by side for the last year together. So I know that this has been on your vision for a while.
Yeah, man.
And obviously, super successful fix and flip investor. You know, you moved to South Florida here 3 years ago or so, and you still have the operation in Maryland, and you're still doing deals out there. But yeah, I know you've always kind of wanted to kind of go down the path of tackling some storage deals. So, brother, just to kind of set the stage for everybody, guys, if you have joined us the last 6 weeks, I want to say, we've been doing Ascend member spotlights with really the primary goal to just equip you guys with knowledge from our members who are having success. And we want to share what's working, what's not working. And we just want to be here and provide content. Obviously, this is 100% free, and we love giving. And we come from a place of wanting to give, and our cups are full. And so we want to pour into you guys. And today, Steve and I wanted to do something a little bit different. You know, we have a lot of conversations with people that are, if you saw my Instagram story, kind of the ship without the rudder or without the sail. And they're just kind of going and pushing, but they don't have a clear path. They don't have clarity. They don't have a vision. And one of the things we want to do today is, A, we want to talk about Steve's self-storage deal. There's certain things that I'll say it for him, he can't really reveal because they're still in the due diligence and contract stage. So we probably won't be able to get into like too many of the details. But look, this has been on his vision for a while now. And that wouldn't have been possible had he had clarity that this is the direction he wants to go down. So we're going to talk to you guys and share with you a process that you can take to really figure out and discover what you're meant to do. Right? So many people get confused. They always ask, hey, should my passion be something that I can make money with? Or there's just a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misinformation around, you know, that whole process. And Steve and I have a very specific way that we take people down. And so we'll kind of talk about that. And then we want to open it up for Q&A. So if you guys have any questions, Kia, always a big supporter. Good afternoon. Pleasure, Kia. So thank you for joining. If you guys want to ask any questions, now's the time to kind of start firing them up. And we want to make this interactive and fun. We're going to aim to keep this 45 minutes. We're not going to do an hour and a half marathon. And so we'll be short, sweet, and pack it with as much content as possible. So if you guys share the broadcast, that'd be great.
Yeah, man, please share. Hey, look, Alex, I've got some comments that aren't popping up on the stream here, but I just want to kind of share what I'm seeing on these other windows that I have open. So PJ, our good buddy PJ, Mr. Film Guru that he is, he says, yo, I'm ready for this. Scott Spear, what's happening? Anna is on. Austin, what's up? Robin, Teresa are on. Welcome, guys. Please share this. Please type in any Q&A that you want. I want to let you guys know, too, I'm going to surprise Alex at the end. I've got some questions for him. So if you stick around until the end here, you know, you're gonna find out some cool stuff about Alex that you may never have known. And he doesn't know what questions are coming. So that'll be fun.
Well, dude, thanks for giving me a heads up. I kind of wish you would have prepped me, but that'll make for an even a more fun live. So cool. Awesome, man. Well, hey, I kind of already teased people with, you know, the fact that you are under contract on this self-storage facility. I understand you can't really reveal too much. But how did you even get to this point? Because you've been fixing and flipping for the better part of, what, 15 years?
15 years, yeah.
So yeah, man, how did we get here?
You know, man, I just know that the economy of scale that, you know, investments like multifamily or self-storage affords you. But having been a residential landlord for 15 years, you know, I wanted to invest in something that wasn't just tenants and toilets and all that good stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just an area that I wanted to kind of go into. So like anything, Alex, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about what direction do I want to go in, and, you know, learning a lot about it. And I think that has a lot to do with my personality type. I'm definitely, you know, I'm a researcher. I forget, what is it? Colby, you're the fact finder, you know, so I'm a high fact finder. So I like to spend a lot of time before I dip my toe in the water. I mean, for anybody out there that's just getting started and listening to this, I mean, you should be doing as much research into whatever particular niche that you want to go into that you possibly can. And I think I learned about real estate investing for a year or two before I actually went and bought my first house. And well, it's the same thing with storage. You know, I've been looking into this and started a couple years ago. You know, I thought that I might be interested in multifamily. And almost immediately when I took a look at that, I realized that I probably wanted to go more into something like storage. Where, you know, you're just really renting out square footage at that point. The lien laws are different. The tenant laws are different. Everything is different. and in my opinion, a little bit more favorable for the investor. So that's where I'm at. And, you know, I've got like one of our mutual friends, Mike Wagner, is advising me. He's one of the best out there. So if you guys are interested, it's a quick plug for the Storage Rebellion.
That's right.
If you're interested in storage out there, I highly recommend you look him up.
Mike is the man. Awesome dude, first and foremost. And the guy really knows his storage facilities. Yep. And he owns several facilities. And it's very cool to kind of see him walking alongside you, even though he's not a part of the deal. I know he's poured a lot into you. And so, dude, I've seen the work kind of from the outside and almost to a certain degree to the inside. I know you've really educated yourself. There's multifamily, obviously, is very sexy. Right. Mm-hmm. Popular. There's a lot of people getting into multifamily.
Yeah.
You started to go down that path and you talked about some of the reasons you elected to go down self-storage. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Man, I have to tell you, when I started looking into it a couple of years ago, there was not a lot out there about it. You know, you've got some of the, you know, you got like a bigger guru out there teaching it, and then you really don't have anyone else teaching it. And you really don't like one of the big things, Alex, this is the big thing. I'll be honest with you. One of the big things that I saw was I went on to Amazon and I was like, well, let's see, if I'm going to learn about multifamily, let me research some books that I should buy. So I did. And there's like hundreds or thousands of them. I mean, there's just so many of multifamily books out there. And I was like, well, let me research some self-storage books that I should buy. And I searched on Amazon for that. And at the time, there was like three or five of them. I mean, it was just not many at all. And so I said, well, this is probably something that not a lot of people are looking at. And so I want to go where there's less competition. Well, fast forward 2 years and now storage is becoming a very sexy thing. And especially in this post-COVID or COVID environment that we're in right now, you see in the commercial world, a lot of people are exiting office or a lot of people are shorting office and all that. I mean, there's a lot, I think we can both agree that there's a lot of companies that are no longer they're going to realize that their office space was just an overhead that they did not need to deal with. And now they definitely won't want to pay that overhead. So I think we're going to see a decrease in office. And, you know, to a lesser extent, multifamily. I think that multifamily has been overheated for some time. And we've seen the cap rate compression that's taken place there. And so that's going to point to a lot more money going into something like storage. Yeah. I think as we start to experience this fallout from, you know, what has happened and what may be around the corner, the deleveraging of the economy, the contraction of the economy, all that good stuff. I think we're going to end up seeing people move. When people move, they need to store their stuff. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things when we take a look at, well, what are we going to be looking at the next couple of years? Something like storage, in my opinion, makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would totally agree with you. And it really fits the vision you have from a lifestyle perspective. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not a business that requires a lot of moving parts. I know I had conversations with Mike Wagner last year in Guatemala, and I think he basically has one assistant or something that helps him manage all these facilities. And depending on the size, you could have an on-site person, et cetera. But to your point, you know, you talked about the opportunity with technology. Technology can handle a lot of the bill pay and all that type of stuff. Right. So.
Absolutely. You know, if you do it right, it can be completely automated. You don't need to have a full-time person or even a part-time person there on staff. You can plug a site manager in that only does a few hours a week. So ultimately, yes, it can be very hands-off if that's the way that you set it up. And yes, that does fit my vision. You know, we were talking earlier and my vision was to move down here to the beach and just really not work a whole heck of a lot. And, man, that is, you know, my first year and a half down here, brother, that's what I did, man. That's what I did. And I loved it. And that was just awesome. And I know you want to talk a little bit about vision, so we can go ahead and transition right now into that if you'd like to get into that. But I mean, it took me a few years to kind of get to there. But when I came up with that vision, the first thing I did is I talked about it with my wife. I do everything that way. And then I put it down, you know, I put it down on paper, you know, and I wanted to move my family down here to the beach and really just slow my lifestyle down, man. Kind of that semi-retirement thing, you know. Retirement to a lot of entrepreneurs is a bad word because they think it means that they have to stop working, but that's not true. You can continue to work, but it's just, what are you going to work on? And the other thing too, is you get, I like that. You get to a certain point.
You like that, right?
Well, I mean,
all the fellas watching this right now that are married are like, yep, exactly.
That's, man, that is the truth, man. You know, I tell a lot of people that God speaks to me through my wife, and that's the truth. You know, it's one of the ways. That's one of the ways that I hear from. So, yeah, absolutely, man. Run everything. And here's the thing. My wife is not like, we're not like this power couple in business or anything like that. She doesn't have a business bone in her body, but she knows scenarios and she knows stuff. And when I tell her what's going on, she just has got that knack for knowing exactly what the next move should be or whatever. And so, I mean, it's kind of crazy like that, but sometimes, man, you need an outsider's perspective. And,
oh, yeah,
you know, bringing it full circle back to Ascend, I mean, that's what we do in the group, is we give the operators and the entrepreneurs and the owners and the investors in our group kind of a different perspective. And I think, Alex, that's something that you do very well. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. That's exactly right. You know, we can't see the blind spots. We've all been in a car, and whether you're driving or in the passenger seat, you know, there's always that spot where you can't see. That's what they call the blind spot. Well, we each and every one of us, have that, not just in the business, but we also have it in life. And you can't go at this alone. I see too many people that are kind of lone wolves and solopreneurs, and they don't surround themselves with the right kind of people. And I realize what I'm sharing right now isn't very sexy, right? Because hopefully, if you're watching this and you kind of follow Steve and I, you know the importance of just having the right type of people in your inner circle, your sphere of influence. Well, a lot of people still just don't invest in themselves, and you got to have each and every one of us. We need somebody like a Carrie, right? Like your wife, whether it's your significant other, or it's a coach, or it's somebody in a group in our community you're with. We have to get a different perspective. But you want to know what, Steve? I think first it starts with awareness. You have to know that you have a blind spot, and you have to know that you don't have all the answers. And matter of fact, nobody has all the answers. I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. We're broken just like everybody else. But we've had some experience. We have coaches in our corner.
Yep.
We have people that we can plug into, and we can get other people see our blind spots, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And it takes the awareness, to your point. It takes getting around a room with people that are on the same path as you, and it takes some accountability. I mean, you know, you need people to be able to ask you the questions, hey, what's going on? You know, how are you doing with XYZ? How's that coming along? I know that was important to you. Where does that stand right now? How has that changed? You know, things of that nature. I think at the end of the day, you need a group that you can be vulnerable with. You need people that are on that same path that you can share what your troubles are, because the fact of the matter is, man, you know, this is that we just go through a day to day and just kind of checking stuff off. And a lot of times we don't even realize what's going on. And, you know, so that's why being plugged into a group is just so important for me. And I know for you and all of our members.
Well, so when did that process start for you? I mean, you didn't just randomly decide, hey, I want to move from Southern Maryland to West Palm without having a vision. You didn't just all of a sudden decide that, you know, after successfully flipping hundreds and hundreds of houses throughout the years, you didn't just decide, hey, I want to go tackle a self-storage facility. You were able to make those decisions because you had a roadmap, right? So what's step one? Like, how did you even get to that point?
Well, I mean, everybody's probably heard me say this, but I'll say it again. I mean, I think it comes down to figuring out what you want your life to look like without regard to money and business and possessions and all that stuff. And then backfilling from there, walking it back from there. How can I build the business that's going to allow me to live that lifestyle? You know, and then because here's the bottom line. This is like the biggest takeaway ever, is that you may or may not ever make the amount of money that you want, or achieve the possessions, or get the yacht, or get the big house on the water, or whatever it is that you want. But you can start living the life that you want to live tomorrow. You can start spending the time with the people that you want to spend tomorrow. You can have time to yourself tomorrow if that's what you choose to do. And when I say tomorrow, I don't necessarily mean tomorrow. Although many times, Alex, as you know, when we work with people, we find out that they actually can start living a lot of aspects of that vision tomorrow. But, you know, it might be a year from now, or whatever the case might be. I mean, you know, I think we all are only limited by, you know, the stuff that we tell ourselves, you know, and you know that very well, because I know you're very much into that with your students and the conversations that you have with them, and trying to kind of could get them to see different perspectives around things of that nature. So, yeah, man, I think that's what it's about. It's just what type of life do you want to live? I mean, and the folks who are just chasing money out there will probably at some point very late in their lives realize that they've wasted a big part of their lives just in that pursuit, and you can't take it with you, man.
And I want to kind of address the fact of, you know, Steve and I are not against the quote unquote grind, but that's not the end all be all. The grind is not the goal. There's been seasons in our life, like I'm in one right now. I think Steve would probably agree that he's in one right now, where we're probably grinding more than we're used to, right? Mm-hmm. But that's a short season. We're aware, and again, sometimes we get off track from our visions as well. You know, we're not perfect, but back to what I was sharing before, it's awareness, it's knowing that, and it's making course corrections. I think of the analogy of the pilot that probably most people have heard of. You know, a pilot's off track 95, 98% of the time, but most of the time hopefully they land home, right? They arrive at the destination, the airport or wherever they're going. Mm-hmm. And that's how our lives are. It's success isn't a straight line from point A to point B. It's a big zigzag, you know? Yeah. But it's so important to have the rudder in our ship, right? And i.e. the vision.
Yeah.
So to Steve, to your point, is just ask yourself those questions. What do you want? Why do you want it? Document it. Chances are you're a hell of a lot closer to reaching the life you want than you might think. And you don't have to wait until someday when to live the life you want, right?
So
and,
true.
And most people don't even realize they're that close.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I want to check in real quick. We've got, Chris Savagian says, greetings, Chris. What's up, man? Anthony Cuskey says, hey, guys. And what's happening? Oswaldo, good to see you out there. Dominic Lore, what's up, man? Scott. Christian, what's happening? Connie, my old neighbor in Maryland, what's up? Brendan Daly, what's going on, man? Philip Vincent, how are you? Preston Hoffman, good to have you on, man. So we got a lot of folks. I'm getting some comments over here on mine, Alex, but we'll keep rolling along. Is now a good time to transition into my pop quiz questions for you?
Uh-oh, yeah, man. Fire away, dude. I'm always ready for a little pop quiz.
So Ian, my partner on the storage deal that I'm doing down there, asked me a really cool question, and it really made me think, and it's a tactical question, so I think you're going to love it. Okay. He asked me, what's my task management system? So I'm asking you that question.
What is it? So I wish I could tell you I have some elaborate CRM that like just lines up my, you want to know what my task management system is? It's a simple Google Doc spreadsheet. I use an ABC system. So I use the A is like the top two or three things that like, if I got nothing else done, but I got this done today, it would be a success. I got the B, which is like the next level. And I got the C, which is like, it's got to get done, but not necessarily by me. It could be somebody else on my team. Bro, I realize that's not very, it's not a shy. It's not like, wow, that's amazing. Thanks so much. You like revolutionized my world.
But
it's what works for me. And I think the takeaway is figure out what works for you, you know, but like, everybody knows, I shouldn't say everybody. Most people probably know about the Pareto principle, the 80-20. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so what are the 20% of your efforts that are producing 80% of your results?
Yeah.
Try to apply that to task management is what I would share with people. And whatever the system is, make sure that it keeps you focused on the 20%.
Absolutely. That's really, really good. Not too different than the advice or the take that I had for him on that. You know, I basically do three things. I've got my calendar that I pretty much operate off of. So if something's very important and it has to happen today or a week from today or whatever, then it goes on the calendar first and foremost, because I pretty much work off the calendar for better or worse. Now, what I like to do is I also like to use Evernote. So something where it's like a big checklist. If I've got a lot of tasks that are under a certain topic, such as like due diligence on the storage facility, I'm going to go ahead and I just put check boxes by all of this tasks. And then as I'm doing them, I just go ahead and put a check in those boxes, you know, and then finally, I like to use a good old notebook. I always keep a notebook with me, and I'll just write down an ongoing to-do list. And once I get, say, three or four pages on or whatever, like with other stuff, I'll go back. I'll look at that to-do list. I'll cross off all the stuff that got done on it. So this isn't a daily to-do list. This is like kind of like an ongoing to-do list. Yeah. Then I'll just start a new one every three or four pages fresh and put anything new on it, and then copy over anything that didn't. And what I like about that, this might sound cheesy, but it's so effective for me, is writing it down. When I write something down, it just goes into my brain. It like encodes it in my brain, and then I get it out of my head. And I don't have that same thing happen electronically when I type it. But when I write it down, it's like I can feel a weight off my shoulders. It's, even though it hasn't yet been done, it's been written down. I no longer have to walk around all day and all night, waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. I have to remember. Well, now I don't. It's all written down. And it's not even a conscious thing. It's like a subconscious thing. So sure. I learned that from Tim Ferriss. And that's been pretty profound for me.
That's really good. You know what? I'll piggyback and share. So the equivalent of that weight off my shoulders that you just like articulated is years ago, Steve, on my calendar, I used to put all my to-dos on my calendar. And so I didn't even realize this, but it was creating all this stress because I would look at my calendar for the week and literally from like 8 a.m. through like 5 p.m., it was just jam-packed. Like there was no wiggle room. And then I was talking to a coach of mine. He's like, Alex, why don't you just use the calendar to schedule like meetings and like super, super important things. Like for example, Facebook Live, you'd schedule that. A coaching call, you'd schedule that. But everything else, whether it's an Evernote or a Google Doc, put it off. And now I look at my calendar and it's like, I don't know if you can see that, but it's like, there's a lot of white. There's a lot of open space. And it's given me that sense of relief where I just, if I want to add something, I can. But like for the most part, my days are pretty tight and my to-dos aren't on my calendar. So for me, that's what's really helped as well.
Right. Okay. Yep. Cool, man. Alex, what's your biggest regret?
Ooh, my biggest regret. Well, immediately. So I like to give you unfiltered answers right off the top. And and I hope people know that you did not prep me for this. That's a God's honest truth. Yep. Immediately, what came to mind as it relates to business, and this might sound self-serving, but it's, I swear to God, it's the truth. I waited 2 years before I invested in myself and actually got a coach. And in 2007, I got involved in a rehab. I've only shared this story, I think, a few times, but long story short, I was rehabbing. I was wholesaling for 2 years. And in the beginning of 2007, I thought it might be a good idea to take down my first rehab, which was a $535,000 purchase price. Mm-hmm. It was about a $760,000, $780,000 ARV. At least we so thought it was. Right. And I partnered with somebody on that deal and we ended up each losing about $51,000, $52,000 on the deal. But that was also one of the biggest blessings in my career because without that 52K like ass whooping that I took, let's call it what it is, or what it was, I would not have realized I need somebody in my corner that can kind of like help me see those blind spots back to that.
Yeah.
I would have never gotten it. I would have seen what the market was about to do. There was a bunch of signs and I had no business getting involved in a $500,000 project as my first rehab.
Right.
When that wasn't even my expertise, you know, I had done well wholesaling. And so like maybe I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I'm like, yeah, I could do that. And, you know, I got my ass handed to me basically. So, so immediately that was a, it was a regret, but not really because that's what led me down the path of even more personal development and coaching. Yeah. Brother, I got to say, man, I do my best not to live with regrets.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have anything that really jumps out at me that I'm like, man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that.
Yeah.
I can't say
I've got one for you.
Okay. What's that?
I've got one for you, man. I think, if I were to regret something for you, and I know that you did consulting and things like that in the past, but I think you probably could have got started at coaching others much sooner because it's a God-given talent for you. And I know you're passionate about it and I know you've done very well with it and you're a great coach and the folks that you coach within Ascend love you. So I think one regret, if you want to look at it that way, could have been, you know, you could have been coaching earlier.
Well, thank you. That makes me slightly uncomfortable, but I'll take the compliment. It'll land on me. And it's funny because so you're somebody. You and another Steve were always encouraging me. Like, and I'd coached people since 2012, 13, but just kind of like a one-on-one basis. And I had never really leaned into it. And it had it not been for you and another Steve. Who knows? I definitely probably wouldn't have been doing this with you in Ascend. And now I absolutely love it. I was sharing with one of my team members, you know, I've been We've been in real estate now for 15 years, and there's nothing I wouldn't do for my team members. And I consider you a team member, but on the Ascend side, not the real estate side. And I told one of my team members, I said, I love the passengers. I just don't necessarily love the vehicle. Yeah. And what I meant by that was real estate is just a tool. It's a vehicle. But when it comes to coaching, I love the passengers, the people I get to coach, the people I get to work with, i.e. you. And I also love the vehicle. It's so fulfilling to be able to pour into people's lives. So
sure. Well, cool, man. Lee, who just joined us, says, Alex is great. Up on there. And Teresa, you can't see this comment on your screen, Alex, but Teresa Ward says, you're both great coaches, smiley face. So thank you, Teresa. Teresa's been awesome. She's been with me for many years, and she's got a great career going with real estate. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. All right, man. Next question. You want to keep going with these? I have a few more.
Yeah, man. Fire away.
All right, man. Dude, I want to just get your off-the-cuff thoughts, your reflection on we're at our one-year anniversary with Ascend. And although this is not an Ascend commercial, I would love to just kind of have I don't know that we've even had this conversation. I know we've kind of like cheers to each other and stuff like that. But you know, what are your reflect on 1 year, of Ascend, and what are your wins? What are the wins that we've had within Ascend in your opinion?
Wow. They've, first off, I'm extremely I'm filled with gratitude. Number one, a win was that our visions aligned. You know, we talk about the importance of having a vision. Well, your vision is not always going to align with somebody else that you want to work with, you know, and I wanted to work with Steve. When I finally discovered that coaching was, something that God had kind of been calling me to do, I wanted to work with this guy right here. And when I approached him, in all seriousness, our visions just quickly aligned. And so I think that was a huge win, because without an alignment of a vision with a partner, it's going to be very difficult to make it work. I've learned a lot from you and just throughout the process. It's just been a huge win. Number two is, I think part of the reason in the past I kind of rejected coaching like at a larger scale was because I wasn't really clear on the type of person I wanted to coach. Mm-hmm. Now the people I get to coach are my friends, people that I'd maybe go have a beer with or something, or go hang out with. So getting clear, and now what's happened is God's put the right people into our lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a huge win, man. It's so rewarding. I just got a text this morning from one of our members about just where they were in August to where they were now. And dude, that lights up my world. You know, so the testimonials is a huge win. The countless success stories is a huge win. And the fact that this is not work to me. This doesn't feel like work. Now, don't get me wrong. It's been a lot of time and effort put into getting to this point. This doesn't happen just overnight. But the fact that I get to do this, and it's not an I have to, I think is a massive win. But all in all, it's about the community. It's about the people that are in Ascend and how they've been able to, in some cases, transform their lives and their businesses. Mm-hmm. In other cases, it's been a 2-millimeter shift that's made all the difference in the world in their life and their business. So we can get into specific stories, but I know we're kind of winding down on time here. But the win is all about the people in a sense.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll go ahead. I'll ask you the last question here, and we can talk a little bit about this with that in mind. But what's next for Ascend?
Oh, man. I think you and I continue to push ourselves, and we continue to strive to add as much value as possible, giving our members what they need while at the same time staying true to our vision. Yeah. Right. And look, let me be just totally, I always talk about transparency and being upfront.
Yeah, man.
There's been times where I've kind of been hit with the imposter syndrome. And what I mean by that is you and I are on here and we're talking about vision and we're talking about staying true to your vision. And ever since COVID, to a certain degree, I've kind of gotten a little bit away from that in that. My hours were pretty tight. My boundaries were pretty tight. And I've been working a lot more lately. And I've been just focusing a lot more time on the business. And even though I spend a tremendous amount of time with my family, the amount of time I'm putting into the business is not in my vision. And so right now I've wrestled with the fact that, hey, this is a season I'm in, but that can at some point just become an excuse.
Yeah.
And so the reason I say imposter syndrome is because dude, I it's hard for me to come on here and share, hey, the importance of vision and following your vision. And yet right now I'm not truly like honoring my vision, but I'm making course corrections.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Well, it not only does it answer my question, I mean, I feel like I'm looking in the mirror with what you just said. You know, and you and I kind of had that conversation this morning. I think I pretty much said everything you just said in a different way this morning. So that's cool that we're both there. And I think what people can be excited about moving forward is that, you know, there's going to be a ton of intention with what we do. And look, something that I'm excited about, we just had good friends of ours who just joined and actually took my last available slot within Ascend, which means that we're down to just one final slot in Ascend, and then it's closed until a seat becomes available again. So that's pretty exciting. But the you know our good friends Josh and Maria, who just made the decision to hop on board. I mean, dude, they are going to bring so much value to this group.
They're rock
and they're going to get a ton out of it. And, you know, we know that some of our members have already talked with them and like they're super excited about it too. So, I mean, it's just going to be a very symbiotic relationship. And man, I cannot wait until we all get back in a room together in Miami here in a couple months and mastermind together. You know, I shared with you this morning, that is my most favorite part of this whole thing. I absolutely love being at the front of that room with you and leading that room. That gets me the most excited. And that's what I look forward to. Got a couple more comments here. Looks like Ian joined. He said, storage, LFG. As Scott Spears said, we are glad to have you both as coaches. Jay Rainsbury, my high school and college buddy. What's up, man? Good to see you on here. Sean, Ian, great to have you. Brittany Calloway, what's up? Ian says, I'm still stuffed from Tony's. Alex, man, you got to come with me to Louisiana sometime. He has this place, Tony's. It's like an institution there. And
really?
The seller of his property took us there. We spent $100 just buying every single thing like that on the menu. And we went to the seller took us to his front porch and we broke out tables and sat there and ate $100 worth of crawfish tails and oysters on the front porch of this guy's house. It was awesome. Brittany Thompson, good to have you. Terry Royce, what's up? Brittany says, good luck, y'all. Once that seat is taken, we're family now and nobody is leaving.
Brittany and Ian are amazing people as well.
They're great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. Awesome,
man. Well, dude, one thing I want to kind of just share too is I'm looking forward to August when we have our mastermind retreat here in Miami.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain energy that is in that room that I get. And there's always some butterflies, right? Because you never know what's going to be brought to the middle of the table. And in many instances, it's their real life and business challenges that people are faced with. But those things will never be revealed what they are because that's confidential, obviously, behind those doors. Mm-hmm. But just the level of transparency that's displayed when you get in that room is nothing short of remarkable, man.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of courage to just open up about like what's really holding you back. And if you're not willing to do that, whether it's a sender, whoever you work with, whatever community you're a part of, if you're not going to be true to yourself and real, like you're kind of, you're shortcutting or shortchanging the system is what I should say.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Well,
that's
brother.
It for me, brother.
Yep. That's a wrap, man. So parting words here, guys. How do we, I want to leave people with something tangible, an action item or something. I know for a fact there's people that are watching this now or that are going to watch this in the future. Here's the last question for you and then we'll hop off here.
Yeah, man.
What's one practical step? If somebody's watching us or they're listening to this in the future and they're like, I feel a little lost. I'm not 100% sure if I'm operating in my genius zone, unique ability, giftedness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We've already kind of highlighted what they should do, but like very specific and direct. What's step one when they finish like listening to us?
Yeah. I mean, man, for me, that's pretty easy. I mean, outside of contacting us to see if we might be able to work together, I would say sit down and listen to your intuition. Talk to those in your life who you know, like, and trust, you know, i.e. spouse or people who know you very well, and just listen to your intuition. If you spend enough time listening and not, and instead of talking and just going, but if you take a break, step away from daily life and listen, the universe, God, it will speak to you. And that intention will then give you parts or glimpses of the vision. As you start to explore that vision, you're going to get deeper and deeper into it. And you're going to start to realize other aspects of your vision. And then you start to write that stuff down. And as soon as you start to write that stuff down, we can work backwards with you and help you figure out how that's going to happen. And that's what we do here in Ascend.
Yeah. I got nothing else to add other than just thanking. It means a lot when people just take time out of their day, because time is precious and valuable. And for everybody who chooses to watch us and listen to us, we acknowledge you and we appreciate it. And guys, really encourage you, if you see any value in potentially working with us and surrounding yourself with just amazing people and just awesome entrepreneurs, ascendyoursuccess.com. That's the quick call to action. I'm always hesitant and uncomfortable to say like we have one seat left, because it sounds like so marketing gimmicky.
But it's the truth.
It's the truth. I swear to you, it's the truth. Ascend is two small, intimate groups, and we've worked hard to get to this point.
I was about to say that we have worked very hard to get to this point. Yeah. I am crying uncle. Alex can attest to that. But man, we are. I am, man. When I look back on it, man, I am thankful for everything that we've put into this and everything that we've done here. And the groups that we have are solid, solid people. Yep. I can't wait for all this COVID stuff to end so that we can get back with our people and we can really just help everyone to just create the life they want and to do deals with one another, which is happening, and all the other ancillary benefits that come along with being a part of this group. It's just been an awesome journey this far, bro. And I love you, man. I wouldn't rather be doing this with anyone else. So
love you too, brother. And we're not letting COVID stop us. We're doing that despite COVID.
Yes.
Helping people. So guys. Hey, really appreciate you. If you have any comments if you watch this like later on, feel free to drop it and Stephen and I will go back and answer it. And ascendyoursuccess.com if you want to connect with us.
Real
super
quick,
informal, nothing, no pressure or anything.
We got Anthony who says, "Hey, look, it took us over 6 months to commit to Ascend, but sometimes it's just timing. I didn't push the issue, just time and prayer, and eventually my wife's and my vision lined up." That's pretty awesome, Anthony. Thank you so much for being honest and sharing that with us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And Anthony and I had been in conversation for 6 months, and again, I think he'd admit I never once pushed him. If it's got to be the right fit. If it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Either way, it's cool. And now I get to work with somebody like Anthony and his wife, Debbie. Yep. Just awesome people and just very, very successful. So again, man, just, sometimes I pinch myself. I get to do this, right? So I appreciate you, man. And nobody else I'd rather do this with. So my man.
Cool. Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out.
All right, Mr. Roque, thank you, my man. Roque is a good buddy of mine that joined us here. So appreciate you, bro. And awesome. All right, guys, we will talk soon. And
love you guys. See ya. Boom.
This show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.